Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
All right, welcome to it. Happy Thursday, everybody. We're giving you a chance to ask us anything. Anything you want to ask us. We're an open book. You want to play a little game? Well, this is the whole idea behind Ask Us Anything, because you emailed me last night and said, I want to get a little loose tomorrow.
Yeah.
I went, okay.
Yeah,
I just think once you get loose, I'm going to let you get loose.
So, you know, one of the greatest things to do.
Funnest isn't a word, is it?
Funnest.
Is funnest a word?
Yeah, it's more funner.
I thought it was most fun. One of them.
Yeah, it can be funnest, can it?
Okay, I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter if it's a word or not. I used it and it sounded really cool. It's the funnest thing I've done. This is the most funner thing I've done lately. All right, one of the funnest things to do, or the most fun
Go ahead. Just roll.
Is bash on James when he's not around to defend it.
Oh, James Merrilat. Yeah. He's just on with us.
Yeah, he's just on with us.
Yeah. Yes, because I had something I wanted to take exception with. Yeah.
Okay, so you have a bone of contention. You go first, and I'll go second.
Well, he said that the Broncos are facing like a brand new, having to remake their entire defensive line, and he started talking about, you know, Shelby Harris won't be here, Adam Gotsis won't be here, Derek Wolfe won't be here. And yet, I'm seeing these reports that Derek Wolfe and his representatives met with the Broncos representatives and had a very positive meeting.
Well, there you go.
I mean, it doesn't mean that there's a deal forthcoming, but
I think Chris Harris Jr. and the Broncos have had some positive meetings, too. Right? I mean, nobody dog-cussed one another. They had some positive meetings. They've been having positive meetings in this NFL CBA for quite some time, and I would agree with you, though. I mean, I think that there's probably a chance that Derek Wolfe comes back. I think there's, I think there's a chance of those things happening. I mean, maybe Shelby Harris hits the free agent market and realizes there's not as much a demand for him as he thinks after the great season that he had. So maybe he has a chance to say, I don't want to leave. I like what we're building here. I like Vic Fangio's deal, right? You never know. All right, so there's your bone of contention. Here's mine. James Merrilat said this about the wide receiver position in the 2014 draft.
You know, the last time there was this kind of a receiver class was, you know, the year it was OBJ and Jarvis Landry, and I forget who all was in that class. All I remember is the Broncos waited till the second round, and they took Cody Latimer. They were about the only team that managed to miss on a wide receiver that year. So I think Vic was saying that, hey, there's a lot of guys here, and we can take one in any number of places. I'm just not sure I necessarily agree. I think you find the one or two guys that you think, hey, he can step in this year, be a difference maker, and he's going to be here 6 to 8 years, and you go make sure you do whatever you have to do to get him.
All right, so here it is. Sammy Watkins, you think the Bills, who drafted him fourth overall and moved up, do you think he was for them? Do you think he's been surefire for them? You think that's not a bust? You think, I mean, Sammy Watkins is a good player, but is he an elite player? Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, that's the guy you referenced, right? Has he not been with the Giants, now with the Browns, and he's more of a headache than he is a producer? Is that not true? Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I read it wrong. Brandon Cook's been with three teams. Got drafted by New Orleans. Then he went to New England. Now he's about the third receiver with the Rams. You consider that just a home run? Is that a home run there? How about Calvin Benjamin? That guy showed up to camp a year ago or so, and he looked like he was trying out for offensive tackle. He's about 290. Yeah, how's that working out for you? Where's he now? I mean, we can go on and on. And Marquise Lee. Marquise Lee been a big-time producer. How about Jordan Matthews? How about Paul Richardson? He's bounced around. He's looking for his third team now. I mean, do you want me to keep going with all the, hey, Davante Adams was drafted a couple of picks before they went out and got Cody Latimer. He's been really good. I mean, really good. Allen Robinson was drafted behind. Jarvis Landry was drafted behind. So it's about picking the right guy. But there's plenty of guys in this can't miss draft class that you just mentioned that missed. That haven't done much with what they with where they were drafted. So before we just say, hey, this draft class is can't miss and all these receivers are going to produce, you brought it up yesterday or the day before, and it was so poignant. There was about eight of the, since 2012, there's about eight receivers that you would consider pretty big time receivers of the 35 or so that were drafted that have really produced. And the rest of them have just been guys, and a lot of them, you can't even recall their names.
Here we go on and ask us anything. Here's one. Mark, honest question. Why do you feel that NFL players should get lifetime health benefits? I can't think of any other job other than military that has that. I used to compete in skiing. My body's broken, and I have to pay to get my knee cleaned up next month. Why shouldn't you guys, when you guys made 100 times more than me in my career?
Well, one, because nobody watched you ski. I mean, you want me to be honest? How many people paid to watch you ski on ABC Wide World of Sports? No one. Nobody went to one of your events. I mean, I don't know where you skied. Maybe you were an Olympian. Maybe you did. Maybe you were an Olympian. And you know what? The point being is this is a league that reportedly made $16 billion last year. $16 billion last year. This thing is a juggernaut. Roger Goodell has been tasked with growing the revenue of this league to $25 billion a year. And the players are contractually obligated to get 48% of that revenue.
Up to 48.5 over the 10-year span.
And in this new CBA, it's going to be worth an additional $5 billion to the players over a 10-year span.
How many businesses out there do you go to work for that you and all your fellow employees are guaranteed to get 48.5% of the overall pie?
Right. Well, 48.5% of the overall pie after they take out, there's quite a few concessions that they've given up. So it's not the overall pie. You know, there is money that's held back for stadium reconstruction and stadium and new stadiums and things of this nature that the players aren't, that they're not getting. So, but the point is, this is a huge business, and it's honestly, it's built on the backs of players. That's what it's built on. Nobody comes to watch an owner sit around his ass off. That never happened before. You never bought a ticket to come watch Jerry Jones sit in his box. Ever. You honestly don't, hey, you bought tickets to go watch John Elway play. You don't go buy tickets to watch John Elway sit in the GM box. I'm just telling you the way it is. And when you have a huge corporation, a multi-billion dollar corporation, and, you know, and it's built on the backs and the injuries of players, and then you should take care of them. And I'm saying if you get vested in this league and you've spent time, you've real time in this league producing, then you should have some time. That's what they should fight for. I'm not saying you're going to get it, but that's what you should fight for.
But this is something that you have to understand as a player or as a former player, that you're never going to win in the court of public opinion. And it's texts like this that reaffirm this. Excuse me, Stink, no offense, but man, these players are spoiled. If the 17 team game schedule is the problem, that's ridiculous. They would make more money in one game than most people make in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. I'm out here up at 3 a.m. every day to beat the Bay Area traffic to work my crappy job. I'd love for them to come crawl through tight spaces and offsides of buildings. What a weak mentality they have.
But see, again, you look at that money. You don't look at the sacrifices those players have made. You don't look at the sacrifices that they're willing to make. You don't look at the work that they have done. Because you remember yourself at 8 years old playing in the playground and thinking it was just fun. And it is. Sundays are fun. But to get to be able to play on Sundays, there's a couple things that have to happen. One, you got to be blessed by the hand of God athletically to be able to do that. Two, you got to be one of the toughest people on the planet to be able to play this game. And most people, as I say, there are more people that have been eliminated from playing in the NFL because they're not tough enough than it is from an athletic standpoint, but nobody wants to admit that. Everybody wants to just say, boy, if I was blessed with that athleticism, I'd play for free. No, you wouldn't. If you've got a skill that you can earn a living off of, you're not giving it away for free. It's just not going to happen.
We'll revisit this topic for sure as we move along. I know you're very passionate about it, so that's good. Coming up, Cecil Lammy, live from the Combine. What is he hearing about maybe the chance of the Broncos and Derek Wolfe working out a deal? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.
All right, let's get ready to head out to the Combine in Indy where Cecil Lammy has been hunkered down all week. We'll do that in just a second. It's also Ask Us Anything Thursday. Well, yeah, we don't do that. That's why I screwed up the days. We don't do this often. Mm-hmm. But Mark gave me a mandate last night. He said, I want to get a little loose. So
yeah.
We're giving you folks a chance to ask anything. But Mark's
which is
not,
code for I didn't really want to read
but
anything.
But Mark doesn't feel so loose right now because he's fighting with everybody about this CBA.
Well, that's a little bit loose. I mean, I'm just giving you guys the real. I'm just giving you guys what actually goes on.
All right, well, let's get the real info from Cecil out there in Indy. All right, and Cecil, I know that you've been fixated on guys without their shirts on, but what has been the talk, if any, out there about this CBA? Because it is something worth paying attention to. We've got some high-profile players who have come out and said this is not a good deal. And for all of us who love our football and don't want our football to go anywhere, what is the talk? And is there any danger that somehow our Sundays could be jeopardized?
No, actually, there's great optimism. And in fact, when you talk to most people, it seems like we're going to take about 10 days to 2 weeks to get this thing ratified because the top dollar guys don't like it. But there's class warfare in the PA right now because the middle guys and the lower end guys is a good deal for them, a really good deal for them. So, you know, okay, how many, you got the stars, right? But how many middle tier guys, lower tier guys do you have? That far outnumbers the number of star players, you know, like the JJ Watts or the Russell Wilsons or the Aaron Rodgers. So there is, you know, optimism, much more optimism than there was 10 years ago. And here's the situation. It's kind of confusion, though, right now, because if this is the final year of the current CBA, which it is, you have two tags. You have a franchise tag and a transition tag, and you can use both of those. So if you're Dallas, you can franchise tag Dak Prescott, and you can transition tag Amari Cooper and keep both. Well, if a CBA is ratified in the next 10 days to 2 weeks, which is expected, then it becomes a new CBA, and there is no two tags. And right now, the NFL cannot answer, what does a team do if they tag two guys, because you can start tagging guys today, you tag two guys, and then the CBA is ratified, as expected, and now you got to lose one of those tags or hurry up with your negotiations. The NFL doesn't even have an answer. So the buzz around here is optimism and confusion about this CBA.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm with you. I think there's so many of those middle class players right now that are looking at this like, hey man, it's a good deal. I'll play an extra game, but I'll get an extra game check and minimum wages will go up and there's some benefits on the back end that are going to be better for us. So, you know, I think it will be. I'd be shocked if it's not ratified. I really will. But again, then it opens up Pandora's box on what you're going to do from a franchise and transitional tag standpoint, how those things apply to the new CBA. Regardless, Mike was just pointing out that Derek Wolfe and the Broncos had talks. His people had talks with their people, and they seem to be positive talks. Anything on the front from a defensive line perspective? Because this is another position of need, and it looks like another position of transition for this Broncos football team. So where are those two sides?
Yeah, two sides are working towards a new deal that could, you know, keep Wolfe playing for the Broncos as long as he's playing in the NFL. Really, there's a lot of optimism around that. Derek Wolfe, the people I talk to, you know, my sources say he wants to stay in Denver. And of course, the Broncos now showing that interest, probably with a lower offer than, you know, the $9 million that he made last year. Let's say if Derek Wolfe, they tossed out a $6 million number, you know, something like that. He'd probably take it, you know, honestly, at this point in his career, and kind of the team needs to shore up one of those sides. You know, you got Draymond Jones on the come up, and that's cool. And you could draft someone else this year. That's cool. But having Derek Wolfe there to be that solid veteran, the games that he plays with Von Miller, to me, that's worth the price of his contract for one more season. And again, it's not going to be the $9 million that he made last year. And to my knowledge, again, from the sources that I talked to, this is the first time they've talked. Because the last time I checked in on this situation, I reported it on Twitter and on our airwaves, like, they haven't even talked to Derek Wolfe. Well, I kind of waited with their guys. And it is interesting. The language of the NFL is money, Stink, as you always say. And guess what? If you're contacting a guy, and among the first guys that you're contacting, because Simmons isn't going anywhere, but if you're contacting Derek Wolfe, that language is saying, hey, we want to keep him. I have a feeling they'll find a way to get it done.
Busy with Cecil Lamy out at the Combine in Indy. All right, what else are you hearing about the other Bronco free agents? Is there any way? Because it just seems like, why can't this relationship be salvaged with Chris Harris? And what about some of the other guys? Shelby Harris, Connor McGovern, Will Parks. What are you hearing about these guys? Who stays and goes?
I think that Parks is, you know, likely on his way. And the Broncos will bid him adieu. Wish him well in his next stop. We'll say that. The Chris Harris Jr. thing, the Eagles are all over him. That's the buzz here in Indy is like, okay, this guy gets the market, and then here comes the Eagles. They're going to throw a bunch of money at him, and more money than some people thought he could get. Again, Chris Harris Jr. is not taking any sort of discount. Yes, he's 31, and yes, all this and all that. Like, okay, yeah, but look at the cornerback market, which is a little bit better, right? We got guys like James Bradbury not going to be franchise tagged. That's kind of the buzz there from the Panthers side of things. And you got Byron Jones, cool, but that's the Broncos' top target if they lose CHJ. I think you could get something done. You kind of got to hurry it up, though, because as you get closer, that temptation gets greater just to see what's out there. And speaking of seeing what's out there, the Colts love Shelby Harris. That's what I've heard. I don't think there's any way that the Broncos can afford to keep Shelby Harris and then go get a Byron Jones or keep CHJ or what have you and keep Derek Wolfe and all those sorts of things. So if you're a Broncos fan, you say, hey, I can get you Byron Jones and Derek Wolfe, or I can get you Shelby Harris and then like a lesser name corner, you know, Bashaud Breeland, something like that. I think a lot of Broncos fans would say, no, give me Wolf and give me CHJ, or give me Wolf and give me Byron Jones. That could be the plan of action for the Broncos, because I think Shelby Harris is going to be way outpriced for what the Broncos would be willing to pay him.
Do you feel like with the cornerback situation the way it is, and with the way Chris Harris Jr. played, and the way that he is really better on the slot, do you feel like it's just a point right now that the Broncos are just like, we'd rather have somebody else, somebody that's a better outside guy, and we're gonna get Callahan back to play in the slot, and we're okay with that?
Right, and then you've got Isaac Yiadom, who there's great debate, you know, but last year you saw him bench for awful play. I mean, just terrible, we know that. But then he kind of tried to work his way back. He didn't get his dauber down. There's a Schleyer than Evans word for you, but like he kept his mind about him, you know, and stayed with it and learned in the system. So, you know, he mixes into the equation somewhere. Devontae Bosby sounds like his health's going to be good, according to John Elway a couple of days ago. So, and quite frankly, and this hurts to say, but it's very true, I don't think the Broncos think Chris Harris Jr. is as good as Chris Harris Jr. thinks he still is. Now, I love the guy. I want to be a Bronco for life. I've said he's a Hall of Fame credential. So this isn't anything about what I think. I just think the team thinks, okay, Byron Jones is 4 years younger. And yes, he doesn't get picks. He doesn't have a pick in 40 games, but he's got length. He's got burst, incredibly intelligent, incredibly great tackler, and going to be worth around the same as Chris Harris Jr. So get a guy that's a little bit younger, throw him in your system, should be a great fit. That could be the plan for the Denver Broncos moving forward.
All right, Cecil, great stuff out there at the Combine. We've enjoyed it all week. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right, be good, fellas.
All right, Cecil Lamy out at the Combine.
Cecil Lamy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Four down territory coming up. The audio of the day, courtesy of one Marquise Pouncey, making his case for why the NFL players need to unite against these mean owners. You'll hear it next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is four down territory.
Words cannot say care how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
Yo soy fiesta.
Hurry, hurry. On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Yeah, I feel as comfortable as you can be at this point. I think, you know, he played five games, which I think was very, very important for him to do. And he did well, and we're optimistic.
Well, there you go. There is Vic Fangio. Now, on one hand, Mark, I have really enjoyed this week hearing from Vic, hearing from John Elway, mm-hmm. and that endorsement of Drew Lock that I've been waiting so long to hear. But then I kind of temper that by reminding myself, wait a minute, this is the time of the year where everyone's lying. This is the time of the year where if their lips are moving, they're
right,
lying.
Right.
So when it comes to what they're saying about Drew Lock, is it the truth or is it subterfuge?
I think it's probably the truth, but you want to leave a little room. You always want to leave a little wiggle room, Mike. You always want to leave them wondering exactly what you're thinking. I mean, heck, you know that the Washington Redskins right now who drafted Dwayne Haskins last year are flying in Tua for you know, are flying in Tua and I think Herbert too. They're flying in a couple quarterbacks to or maybe Burrow, whatever, to interview those guys, to take them through physicals and stuff. Why? Remember what happened with the Niners, right? Move from two down to three. You move up one space. If Detroit is really looking at Tua, seriously looking at Tua, and you move down one space, gain some players, still draft Chase Young, and make it good. So yeah, everybody's always, you know, throwing a few feelers out there, if you will.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
We're hoping to get a deal done with it before that, but we'll see. But yeah, if we don't get something done, we'll use the tag. But I think, you know, bottom line, it's got to be fair for Justin. It's got to be fair for us. So hopefully we can get to that point, and, you know, no matter who's representing him or us, that we can come to an agreement.
All right, so the idea of Justin Simmons going anywhere, that's not going to happen. I found the conversation with Cecil interesting. He said, according to his sources out there, Indianapolis really likes Shelby Harris. Philadelphia really likes Chris Harris Jr., which isn't a surprise because Eagles were talked about as a possibility for trade for Chris Harris last year. Among the Bronco free agents, their own free agents, let's put Simmons aside because we know he's not going anywhere. But who would you say, man, I really need him back?
You asking me?
Yeah.
None of them? There's not one guy on their free agent list that I look at and go, we don't get that guy back, we're in trouble.
Oof.
I mean, who? You think you can live without Gatsis or Wolf? Or, listen, you're going to have to dump more into the free agent pool, and the draft is going to change a little bit if you don't go in that direction. But you can't live without Wolf. You can't live without Shelby Harris. You can't live without.
It's not a case of not living without him. I guess it's just a case of, you know, I already have a team that has needs to fill, holes to fill. Do I want to create even more holes to fill when I could solve one of those issues just by re-signing a guy who's been a good pro for me?
Right, no, I get it.
And still is productive. And mm-hmm. I'm talking about guys like, you know, especially like Derek Wolfe.
Yeah, guy that's had injury histories over the course of his career, and you can only assume that there are going to be more down the road, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how it usually works.
But that doesn't mean he doesn't still have some value.
No, he certainly has.
Somebody else is going to sign him with those same questions.
Hey, Derek Wolfe is a really good player. I like that. Would I be Nancy Kerrigan, why, if he leaves? No. There's not one free agent on this team that I would look at and go, boy, that's going to hurt us in the long run. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see
That's a damning statement right there.
I'd love to see Chris Harris stay and finish out his career here. But do I think Byron Jones might be an upgrade over Chris Harris Jr.? Or if you did trade for Darius Slay, even though he sometimes doesn't tackle, do I think he could be an upgrade from a coverage standpoint? Especially on the outside? Yeah, I do.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Man, so crazy, man. I vote no. That our NFLPA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, man, that all that. They ain't looking out for the best of the players. And if y'all want my vote, the Pouncey Twins vote no. And if any player on any one of our teams, if y'all heard for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the bets on each team, stand the up. Stand up. Show these guys that we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players. I love you guys to death. I ain't going to let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a deal just so the sitting the president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't get done.
Wow. Marquise Pouncey clearly does not like the CBA proposal.
Sure.
Now, when he's right there at the end there, he says, you know, just so that some president can walk around claiming they got something done. Is he talking about DeMaurice Smith?
No.
Or is he talking about Goodell?
No, the players president. So Eric Winston and the players reps, the guys who were on the advisory board. Eric Winston's the president of the Players Association, right? DeMaurice Smith is whatever he is, lead counsel. He's right. The head of it. But the from the players counsel standpoint, Eric Winston. So yeah, you're basically saying, look what we got done. You know, it's the same deal they had with the Players Coalition. Like, there's a lot of guys that were really, you know, the money came for you know, the whole kneeling process, you know, and then they created all these programs throughout these NFL cities for social injustice, Mike. There's a lot of guys that are still really angry about some of the concessions that were given up in that. And they're angry at the guys who were in the forefront of that. So, you know, Malcolm Jenkins from the Eagles is a guy that a lot of people have problems with. Even though he's done a lot of good, they don't think he's done enough, or they think he's sold out, or whatever the case may be. So that's how they look at this. Like, you guys are in cahoots with the owners and you can get us a better deal, but you're not getting us a better deal. You know, it reminds me, though, and you talk about the power of the different unions, like the football. I get that the football union is bigger, but the baseball union was pretty big too. Mm-hmm.
And they always stood up to the owners and they always won. And I remember when they were getting ready to cancel the World Series, and you had all these guys like David Cone and John Smoltz getting up, and these were all the guys that made all the big money.
Uh-huh.
And guess what? They were able to influence the guys that were not making as much and get them to fall in line.
Mm-hmm.
But if already Marquise Pouncey's out there going, hey, you guys need help with your rent, we'll help you. I mean, that tells me. I mean, there are so many cracks in this foundation.
Right, because there's such a huge class separation
right
in the NFL. And that's really what it comes down to. All the guys who are, you know, multimillionaires, have $100 million bank accounts, are going, this is a bad deal. All the guys who are just starting out, the guys got 3 or 4 years in the league and have been making minimum wage, you're going, yeah, I get an extra game check, an extra 100 grand, I'm in.
Next in 4 down territory.
Fourth down.
It's exactly where we want to be with Dak. I think what he's done to this point, you know, speaks to itself. And really, Dak is in a business situation right now. Like anything, it's just time to be patient and let the business people work out the business matter.
Mike McCarthy, the new coach of the Dallas Cowboys, believes that Dak Prescott can do for him what Aaron Rodgers did for him in Green Bay, and that is win a Super Bowl. I can understand why Mike McCarthy, who's maybe getting his second go-around as head coach, he needs to make it work. He probably wants Dak Prescott instead of some other untested quarterback. But do you believe you can win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott?
Sure. I think Dak Prescott's a good young football player. And he's been incredibly productive. He's like, do I think you can win? Yeah, because I don't think it's the quarterback that just wins Super Bowls. I think it's football teams that, for the most part, will win Super Bowls. So I think it's that part. You know, I think organizational structure has been a big issue with the Dallas Cowboys. And so I think if you can rectify some of that, I don't know that you will, as long as Jerry Jones is still in charge. But the bottom line is, do I think Dak Prescott is talented enough, this is the question, to win a Super Bowl? Absolutely, with the right pieces around him. Do I think he carries you to one? No. Do I think Patrick Mahomes you to one? No.
Well, hey, in 4 years in the NFL, the average Dak Prescott season is 4,000 yards passing, 25 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. I'll take that.
I would take that here in a heartbeat.
Sign me up. And he was drafted in the 4th round.
He was.
Khaki pants.
Fourth round. My understanding is that Gary Kubiak wanted to take him.
Here.
here. Yeah. That's who we wanted.
How'd that work out?
Now do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. We're giving you a chance to ask us anything, but what has, we'll do that, but what has clearly developed during the course of the show is a head-to-head battle between Mark and you listeners.
Ooh, really?
And we continue to wage the fight next. Have a little fun with this. We haven't done this in a long time. Ask us anything. You can ask us anything you want on the RonaldSlot.com text line, 303-713-1043. We'll do our best.
You love this, by the way.
Well, no, it's not that I love. Okay, here's why I love it.
Right, because okay, people come
not,
after
it's
me.
It's not because I'm wedge driving. It's just because this is a topic that clearly you as a former player are passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans out there, the listeners, the football fans, are also passionate about. And so anytime you have a topic that has both sides being as passionate with their opinions, then I'm not going to lie to you. I enjoy it. Yeah. I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. So you believe that if there's one thing that the NFL players should fight for above all others, it's lifetime insurance.
Sure.
That if you play, I assume if you play a certain amount of time in the NFL.
If you get to the point where you're vested, so you've gotten, it's 3 full years and 4 games, so it's into your fourth year. You've legitimately played for 4 years, and you're a vested player, then yes, okay? You qualify for lifetime insurance. How about that?
Okay. And people having a hard time with that. Let's see, just a quick sampling here. Sting's argument is so flawed, I don't even know where to start. In no way, shape, or form, just because they played football, does that entitle them to health insurance for a life. Mark, your opinion is powdered milk. I work for the Union Pacific Railroad, makes twice as much as the NFL. You're an overprivileged one percenter.
Well, nobody's arguing that we're one percenters. Like, nobody's arguing that fact. Let me ask you this. You work for the railroad, and let's say that you work a job for the railroad and you get massively injured while working that job. Are you entitled to workman's comp?
Of course.
Right? And if those injuries, you can no longer work and those injuries persist for the rest of your life, are they going to pay for those? After 5 years and you're still trying to recover from this injury that you got at work, after 5 years, you just get cut off from the railroad and they say, hey, you're on your own. Good luck. No, I hope that works out.
Let me give you a different proposal here.
Okay.
Let's say, you're working, on that railroad and, you know, you're just wear and tear and, you know, your back is starting to, you know, act up, mm-hmm. but then, you know, they move on from you. You move on from them. Whatever.
Right.
And then 5 years later, man, my back is really. And you go to a doctor, and he says, "Yeah, you got a jacked up back. That's mm-hmm. probably a result of all those years working on the railroad." Are they going to turn around and now pay for all your medical bills moving forward?
If you take them to court, yeah. Oh, hey, listen, Matt. I mean, here's if you can prove.
So,
that,
how many people out there have the ability to go to court against Union Pacific Railroad and all the legal ammunition they can throw at you, you're gonna go toe to toe with them?
The same thing the NFL does. Mike, there's a benefit called. Let me just tell you a little bit about the benefit that I try to get. There's a benefit when you retire. It's called in the line of duty disability. Okay. So you file for in the line of duty disability with the NFL. The board meets once every 6 months to look at the cases. So once you file, okay, you file with the NFL, the NFL gets back to you and says, hey, you got to have a evaluation by an independent doctor. And here's the independent doctor that you'll see. Really, how does that make him an independent doctor? Right? So they sent me to this independent doctor here in Denver. I went to see the independent doctor, and after 20 knee surgeries, 7 elbow surgeries, a back surgery, and all the different ailments I had, he said there was no significant there was no significant injury to my body, so I didn't deserve. That's the report they got back. So I had to wait 6 months to get the no from the board, from the doctor's recommendation. Then I appealed. Then I went and saw another doctor, and the doctor qualified me for in the line of duty disability for my left knee and my back, right? Then I had to file that and wait another 6 months for them to hear the appeal. And after the appeal, Mike, then they sent me to another doctor in Chicago. And that doctor evaluated me, and that doctor said, the first doctor they sent you to, I'm embarrassed to call him a colleague. And then I waited another 6 months before I finally got approved. So it was an 18-month process with a bunch of paperwork and everything else. And I understand this is how life works. But here's a guy that had 20 knee surgeries and a back surgery, 7 elbow surgeries, a kidney surgery, that the NFL said, no, we're not going to pay for anything. And the whole process was, hey, injuries force you from the game, you're entitled to in the line of duty disability. So the bottom line is, I understand that people have a tough time with that, and I get it. But this is part of negotiation, is here's what you do for a living. You put your body on the line for a living. You're going to have issues later on, all related to playing, whether it's joint issues, you know, reconstructions, I'm going to have my knee replaced eventually, you know, hip replaced, all those different things that were directly caused by you playing football. And oh, by the way, what about all the head trauma? And what about the things that guys go through, whether it's dementia or whether it's CTE and what, like those things should be covered. So that's, I'm just saying they should fight for that. Well, that's something they should fight for.
To your point, and if folks out there are mad at you for suggesting that NFL players deserve this, then those same folks should be irate with what Major League Baseball players get. Check this out.
Mm-hmm.
One day in the majors
mm-hmm.
gets you lifetime healthcare coverage. One day. You come up to the show for one day, lifetime healthcare.
Yeah. So it's doable. Like you can figure it out. But it's something they've dug their heels on because they don't want that expense. And I get that they don't want that expense. But Roger Goodell is tasked with making this league a $25 billion a year company. Right? $25 billion a year league. And if you're going to fight for things for the long run, not just the short term.
Now, but this is why the players will never win in the court of public opinion is text like this. This is freaking cringeworthy, Mark. You guys don't deserve anything more than us normal people. You have millions of dollars in the bank. Pay for it like we all do, or don't play if you're concerned with these issues. And we're getting a lot of that. Who forced you to play? Nobody forced you to play. So what would be your response to that?
No, I mean, I understand that nobody forced me to play. I understand that I played because I wanted to play. I get all those things. This is a negotiation, people. It's not about what you deserve. Any negotiation is not about what you deserve. Most of you working 9 to 5 aren't getting paid what you deserve. Any teacher out there is not getting paid what they deserve. Any police officer, any fireman, anybody who lays their life on the line, especially in the service of our community, is not getting paid what they deserve. You get paid what you negotiate. And this is about a negotiation. How do you not understand that? And the fact that you can close your eyes and turn a blind eye to because somebody makes a lot of money. You know, I mean, that to me is the amount of hostility or jealousy or anger because of what somebody makes. Like that, I don't understand that. That doesn't get you anywhere in life. It doesn't help you out. You guys don't deserve anything because you make a lot of money and I don't. Ah! Where's that going to get you in life? Where is that attitude? You're going to get in your car, you're going to drive to your crappy job, and you're going to be pissed at other people that you think have it better than you. I don't want to live like that. That's miserable. All I'm saying is the player should negotiate for lifetime health insurance. Baseball gets it. So it's been done. There's a precedent out there for it. Why can't you do it? That's what you should hold out for.
Now, if I'm an NFL owner, I'm saying, well, first of all, there's double the amount of guys on a football team than there is on a baseball team. And you start extrapolating that over year after year after year. Now you're talking about a lot more people, more costs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's face it, the average baseball player doesn't put his body through what an average football player puts it through.
Correct.
So, you know, the effects down the road are going to be much more extreme with football players than they are going to be with baseball players.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That'd be the NFL's argument.
Right.
And we're signing ourselves up for
untold
amounts of money.
I totally understand. I totally understand why the NFL wouldn't want to do that. And I understand, I get why people get upset about the money and everything else. And remember, you're in the entertainment business, but let me ask you this. Is it fair? And again, I did it to myself, right? And I would do it all over again, people. And I loved every second of it. And, you know, you people that are pissing and moaning about it are the same people that were cheering when I walked out on a football field 5 days after having arthroscopic knee surgery and had open wounds on my knee and went out there and played, cheering my toughness. Okay? Is it fair that when I go have my knee replaced, which will be inevitable, and it's going to happen, I'm postponing it as long as I can, but when I do, that I have to write a check for the deductible that my insurance here at the NFL, because I don't have it anymore, here at Bonneville doesn't cover. Is that right? For your team, for the Denver Broncos, okay, your team. When I came here, I had nine knee surgeries. When I left here, I had left with 20. So 11 surgeries on my knee during my 6 years here in Denver. Should the Broncos not be responsible for any of that? The NFL not responsible for any of that?
Again, the average Joe out there will say, Mark, the money you made,
right? I
should be able to pay for it.
And I can. You know, I'm blessed. I can. Does that make it right? Because I made a lot of money. Does it make it right? And by a lot, I mean, compared to today's money, it's pennies that I made. But in the overall scheme of things, yeah, I did. Still, does it make it right? If you had a pile of money and somebody wronged you and you deserved a settlement, would it make it right if the people said, yeah, but you're not going to get your settlement because you've made a lot of money? Like, I don't understand that mentality. So, man, I'm not asking for a handout. I don't need a handout.
Just want your knee fixed.
Right. And I think the NFL should be on the hook for that. But they, listen, man, that's it. Whatever. All I'm saying is this is what the players need to think about in the negotiation, as opposed to, are you kidding me? We want a few less days in the off season.
Right.
Right?
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.